Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. In our last program, we began to look at Quran chapter 2 and verse 30 concerning the creation of Adam and how Allah asked his angels about that deal. As there we read in Quran chapter 2 verse 30, "And when your Lord said to the angels, 'Surely I am placing on earth a successor,' they said, 'Will you place on it those who will vandalize in it and shed the blood? And we praise with your praise and exalt your holiness?' He said," that is Allah, "'Surely I know what you do not know.'" And as we said in our last broadcast, this conversation never took place. As a matter of fact, as you continue to read the story of the Quran, you will feel that the angels were 100% right. Why? Because Adam and his descendants have sinned against Allah and they vandalized on the earth, and Adam's son, that is Cain, killed his brother Abel and shed his blood. And from that day until today, the angels are 100% right. Why? Because there's still vandalization on the earth and there's still shedding of innocent blood all over the earth, which means the Quran declared to us that Allah was 100% wrong and the angels were 100% right. But let's look at the commentaries and the teaching concerning that verse from our book. The author of our book stated that those godly angels who are in the presence of God do not sin against him because they were there to worship him, to live in full obedience to him. But according to that passage, we see four sins these angels have committed against God. Number one, they saw that Allah does not know the future. That's why they mentioned to him about what is coming of the life of Adam. And as we've seen already, Adam and his descendants, and as we have shared already, the angels of Allah were right and Allah was wrong. They were wondering in their talk about what Allah is about to do. They were conjecturing the future of Adam and his descendants, which goes against the teaching of Islam. They actually assume that Allah is making a mistake by creating Adam. But when we read the true biblical teaching, how God created Adam in Genesis account, we do not read there absolutely any hint that God has this discussion with his angels about what should he do or what he's about to do concerning the creation of Adam and Eve. And when Muslim scholars see that there is an error in the Quran, quickly they came up with the answer by telling us that angels in Islam are two, some who live in heaven and others who live on earth. And they said, "The one who live on earth are known to be as jinn, and those are the ones who sinned against Allah." And if we say this is true, we say, how in the world Allah will consult the jinn, the fallen angels? And because the angels, according to Islam, are not described to know the future, they said that Allah told them about what the sons of Adam will do in the future concerning the shedding of the blood. And here we must ask the question, where do Muslim scholars come up with that? The verses are clear. Allah did not mention to them anything of the future, and Allah's answer was not, "Well, I know this is going to happen because I told you." No, no. He said, "I know what you do not know." And he proved to them that he knows more than they can ever know by simply teaching Adam the names of something. And he asked his angels to inform Allah by the names of these things, and they could not. But when Adam was asked and he gave the names of all these things, Allah said to them, "You know what? Here we go. Did I not tell you that I surely know the unseen of the heavens and the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you were hiding?" Do you see here? It is not what Muslim scholars claim, but it is what is written in the pages of the Quran. Now, Muslim scholars also told us that they know that Adam was created from all these things in him, like his jealousy and his anger and his envy. And he knows that out of these, there will come vandalization and there will be shedding of blood. Wait a minute. When we read the Bible, we do not see that God made Adam and these things in him. But actually, God made Adam full of righteousness and purity and holiness. And he was not a man to have any of these evil matters. And the proof of that is God said, it was good. How can it be good when there is evil and sin? After that, Adam and Eve walked with God and fellowshipped with God before he ever sinned. So how can Muslim scholars come up with this fabricated answers? The simple answer we must say is that Muhammad made up a story in the Quran, and in it he wrote things that go against the nature of God and the true information which we read about in the Genesis account. Now let us talk about the worship of the angels to Adam. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 2 and verse 34. For there we read, and when we said to the angels, Isjudu, that is a non-Arabic word of Aramaic origin, which means worship. Allah is telling the angels to worship Adam. So they all worship except Iblis. And by the way, the word Iblis here is another non-Arabic word, which is the devil, from a Greek origin. He refused and became proud, and he was among the infidels. We read the same story repeated in Quran chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. And the story is repeated also in Quran chapter 15, verses 28 to 33, and also in Quran chapter 20 and verse 116. Finally, in Quran chapter 17 and verse 61. Notice, when you read the repeated stories in the Quran side by side, you will discover that the material which Allah used to create Adam from is different from one chapter to another. And the reasons why the devil refused to worship Adam is also different from one chapter to another. And that is what we know to be the inconsistencies of the word of Allah in the Quran. And this is not just in the story of Adam, but it is in every story Muhammad repeated in the Quran, all the way from Adam to Muhammad himself. First of all, Allah proved that the angels were not that smart and they did not know the future by his deception. What was the deception of Allah? It was very simple. He taught Adam some names of something. Scholars disagree. Some said it is the names of the stars, or the names of the trees, or the names of the flowers, or the names of some creatures, or the names of some bugs, or whatever. Something Allah made, and he taught the names of these things to Adam. Biblically, we know that God did not teach Adam any names of anything, but God created all things, and he brought them before Adam, and Adam is the one who gave names to all these creatures. After Allah taught Adam the names of these things, he asked the angels, tell me, what is the name of these things? Oh, we do not know, Allah. We only know what you have taught us, which is logic, which some say makes sense. Then Allah turned to Adam. Oh, Adam, tell them, Adam, what is the name of these things? And Adam started naming these things one thing after another. And that's when Allah had his victory against the angels. And he proved to the angels that he knows everything, when in reality, it is a stupid test. Why? Because it was Allah who taught Adam the names of these things. And according to the word of the angels, they did not know the names of these things because Allah himself did not teach the angels any of the names of these things. So where is the test? It is a foolish deception of Allah, and sadly, Muslims cannot see it. Then we move on to the second very important thing in these passages, that Allah ordered the angels to worship Adam. And it is impossible, and God forbid, that a holy, righteous God will order some angels to worship any other creatures above him, or with him, or even below him. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 14, we read the command of God, for thou shalt not worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Imagine with me, God giving a command to his people, to his creatures, not to worship any other God except him. The same God somehow forgot that given rule in the Quran throughout the pages of the Quran. That is Quran chapter 2, Quran chapter 7, Quran chapter 15, Quran chapter 17, Quran chapter 20. In all these chapters, the same God, as Muslims claim, ordered the angels to worship Adam. Does this make any sense to you? Of course not. This could not be the true God of the Bible.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
And what is so amazing is that the command of Allah was given to the angels, and somehow the devil or Satan refused to worship Adam. And Allah complained to him and said, "Why you do not worship?" The best solution and the best answer to this problem is that Satan will tell Allah, excuse me. You did not ask me to worship Adam. You only asked the angels to worship Adam. And since I'm not an angel, I'm not going to worship him. No, that's not what we read in the Quran. He will give one excuse after another, and every excuse is different than the other for why he refused to worship Adam. Now, Al-Banan, one of the great leaders of the Muslims, said, well, the reason Allah asked the angels to worship Adam is because some part of God was taken into Adam. The Spirit of God was put into Adam. Therefore, Adam became a body which carries a portion of God, and that's why Allah ordered the angels to worship Adam. Does this make any sense to you? Why angels do not worship us today? After all, we still have that portion of God in us, the Spirit which we are living by. But some Muslim scholars who saw that this is a huge mistake in the Quran, they come up with a bitter solution by saying, you see, Allah asked the angels to worship him, Allah alone, but he chose for Adam to be the Qibla, which is the direction of prayer, and through Adam they will be worshiping Allah. It's like Adam standing there and they're going to worship Allah in the direction where Adam was standing. As Muslims today worship Allah by praying bowing down towards the Kaaba in Mecca. Other Muslim scholars said, no. You see, this was simply the angels were bowing to honor Adam, not to worship Adam. And this was simply like a test Allah gave to the angels to see if they will be humble enough to do it or not. But once again, we say, God forbid that this will be something you can attach to God, to make for himself a partner, to ask the angels to bow down and worship this partner. But here is a fact, my dear friends. The word usjudu means to worship, not to honor, as Muslims claim. Well, some Muslim scholars said that prophets are better than angels. But other Muslim scholars also come to the conclusion that no, angels are better than the prophets. And they gave us evidence. First, they gave us mental evidence, like that the angels are spirits abstracted from the relationship of matter and its independencies. So none of the angels' description are potent, but rather as they come in action in the principle of instinct, unlike the human who are able to speak. The second reason Muslim scholars said why angels are better than human, it is because they are spirit and their body is innocent from lust and anger, which are the foundation of sin. Spirituality is light and gentle, in which there is no veil over the transfiguration of divine and physical lights composed of matter and images, and matter is obscure, preventing that continuance contemplation. Spirituality also said it is strong and can do hard actions like earthquakes, and it will not get worried, which is the opposite of the physical world. Finally, these Muslim scholars said that the spiritual is safe from error, unlike the physical. This was the mental evidence. Now let me share with you the chronicle evidence, that is, hear what Allah said in the Quran, which we can use to prove to you that angels are better than prophets. For example, in Quran chapter 6 and verse 50, Muhammad was telling his people the following: I will not say to you that you have with me treasures of Allah, nor do I know the unseen, nor do I say to you, surely I am an angel. I will only follow what is revealed to me. And here Muhammad obviously is telling his people, according to Allah, that he is just a human. He is not a man with treasure, and also he is not an angel. And by that, Muhammad assured the people that angels are greater than humans. The second verse I'd like to share with you, it is what is written in Quran chapter 7 and verse 20, where there we read, so Satan whispered to them to show them what was hidden from them in their nakedness. And he said, your Lord has not forbidden you from this tree except that you become angels or that you become immortal. Obviously, here, Satan is telling Adam and Eve, if they will eat from the tree, they will be in a better position. Like what? Like angels or like immortal, which means angels is better than Adam and Eve as human. Then we read in Quran chapter 21, verse 19, the following: and to him who is in the heavens and the earth and who is with him will not be proud of serving him, nor they regret. As for the statement, who is with him, that is the angels who are with Allah, and the reason they are more important and in a higher place than human, that is because they are near Allah. They are with Allah, not like those who are on the earth, the humans. Now we also learn from the Quran that angels are actually the teachers of the prophets, as we read in Quran chapter 53 and verse 5, as Allah stated, the strong in power has taught him. Who is that? That is Angel Jibreel taught Muhammad, which means that Angel Jibreel is greater and better than Muhammad, which means all angels are better than humans. And that is also repeated in Quran chapter 26, verses 192 to 194. Finally, we know from the Quran that Allah always mentioned angels before he mentioned his prophet. That is because they obviously have a greater position than the prophets. Obviously, from reading all these verses, we know that Allah in the Quran assured the Muslims that angels are better than prophets and better than humans. But that's not actually what we learn from the Bible. Even though we have verses in the Bible which clearly teach that man was made lower than the angel. But in these verses we see that God honored the man and glorified the man by making him better than the angels. Not because this is automatic action, but because he saved man with his blood. Jesus did not die on the cross to save angels, but he died to save humans. And when we believe in Jesus, we become children of God. And that makes us in a higher position, an honorable position than angels. For in Psalm 8:5, we read, "You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." The crowning of Christ, who is God who became flesh, made him with glory and honor greater than any angels. And that is what we read in Hebrews 2:7 and also in Hebrews 2:9. As we read in Hebrews 2:7, "You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands." And the angels are the works of God's hand. And now we see Jesus is above all the angels. In Hebrews 2:9 also we read, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." That is when he humbled himself, obviously, by coming in the flesh, becoming a human. "For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." That is how we know that Jesus received the glory and the honor when he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again on the third day. And that is also what causes us, those who believe in Jesus, to be greater than the angels, as we know that the angels actually will be serving us. And that is exactly what we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 14. "And they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation." And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.